DVD, what's that? You know, they're all about thumb drives and all that stuff. Anyway, so they're back there. If you'd like to have a hard copy of the meeting, they will be on DVDs. And if you're watching by way of the internet and you'd like to have one, you can mail in and we'll get you one. All right? Now, before I start preaching, I probably will just put these over to the side. I'm already running late. But I still got to read you a funny. Here's a stranger talking to the doctor. "Good morning, doctor. I just dropped in to tell you how much I've benefited from your treatment." Doctor looks at him, "You're not a patient of mine." "I know, but my uncle was, and I'm his heir." A man rushed into a drugstore and asked the pharmacist for something to stop hiccups. The druggist poured a glass of water and then threw it in the man's face. "Why'd you do that?" the man exploded out loud angrily. "Well, you don't have hiccups anymore, do you?" "No," shouted the customer, "but my wife sitting down in the car still does."
You thought those things ought to go to church.
Yeah. They got here. All right, well, let's get serious and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Laughter's good like a mess. It did good. Let's get serious in Ephesians chapter number 6. The message I'm preaching today is dressed for the battle. Dressed for the battle. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spirit, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, for you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for this time we have together. I pray for the next few moments you'll help us with your spirit, see the truth of your word, and Lord, that we would allow that word to be a part of who we are and live in our heart and life, and that we may allow it to help us day by day. In Christ's name, amen. Back up by the verse number 10, he says, "Finally." What does that tell you? Finally. So what happens is, that implies there's something before that, doesn't it? 5 chapters and 9 verses. That's what he's talking about. Well, what did he cover before he gets to this point? As you study through the book of Ephesians, you go all the way through 5 chapters, 9 verses into chapter 6. You get to this point, he says, "Finally." So if you don't know chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, then you don't really know where this applies, really, do you? And if you take it for what he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might," does that mean you got to, man, you just got to make sure you quit sinning and you don't do this and you don't do that? What does it mean? It means that you're strong in the power of his might. And that was one reason I wanted to sing that song. You know, thank God I'm in Christ. I'm dwelling in Christ alone. It's not about how powerful I am. It's not about how great I am. It's about how powerful and how great he is. And it's his might that we stand in. It's not our might. It's not what we can muster up. It's what he done. So go back with me to chapter number 1. As you begin chapter number 1, Paul begins to tell you that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God to the saints at Ephesus, and not only to the saints at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where at? In places in Christ. So all of our blessings are spiritual blessings in heavenly places. But it's somewhere else too, isn't it? Christ Jesus. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, the Father's will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, the Father's grace, wherein he, God the Father, has made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And I'm glad I have forgiveness of sins. I hope you do. I hope you're a saved person. I hope you have your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. When you get on down in there, you find out he talks about something else in verse number 9. Verse 8, why not? When he abounded toward us in all wisdom, was it some wisdom, or he abounded toward us in all wisdom? All wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us, what did he make known? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. God the Father had a mystery, and it's the mystery of his will. What is that mystery? You know what that is, right? Next verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So you understand that it's heaven and earth. That has to do with the mystery of the Father. Now, he covers something else. How can you be a part of that? Because you can do it. Or because you get saved by God's grace. Read on. Verse 11. I'm in verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. You have to be in Christ, both which are in heaven, both which are on earth, even in him. That's why the nation of Israel will be in Christ, and that's why you and I are in Christ. It's all in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be there. Amen. Verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. Who's that? The last two words in verse 12. In Christ. In whom you also trusted, you put your faith, you put your total trust in him. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you know that gospel message, how that Jesus Christ died for your sins at Calvary according to the scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that you believed. When you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Isn't that great? Amen. Brother Richard talked about how he was saved on that bench before he ever got it, that piano bench, organ bench, before he ever got it and went to the altar. He said, told us that last night. Well, I remember when I went to the preacher's house that night, and I thought he was going to get out his Bible and show me what I was going to have to do to get saved. He didn't do none of that. He looked at me and said, you know what you need to do. Because I'd been in church all my life. But man, if I knew what I needed to do, why'd I go to him? We had a word of prayer. And I didn't feel saved when I got up. I didn't know what I was supposed to feel, but I didn't feel any different. And I said, you going anywhere? He said, no. I said, can I sit and talk a while? So I sat and talked a while. And the conversation really wasn't what I thought it was going to be. But when I left his house, I was already saved. I trusted the Lord right then when I bowed on my knees. I just really didn't understand it. When I walked out of his house, I looked up to the stars in heaven. I mean, they were just beautiful shining that night. And out by myself, going in my pickup truck, I said, Lord, I said, if I die tonight, I'm trusting your son, Jesus Christ. It's all I know to do. And that's what I done. From that day to this day, my faith and trust has been in him. It hadn't been in me. Because I knew I was needing help that night when I went over there. It's all about trusting Him. But what happens when you do that? You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God, the Holy Spirit, takes you. He baptizes you into Jesus Christ. He circumcises you. He makes you totally complete, seals you right in.
Amen.
Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. I'm selling the house. Earnest money was put up to hold it. You know, that's a down payment. Thank God that the Holy Spirit of God has sealed us until the day of redemption, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We have an inheritance of eternal life. That's God's blessing to us through his grace, through His Son, Jesus Christ, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption, until this flesh, the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. The day of redemption, you know what that is, right? When Jesus Christ steps out with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. Didn't Christ rise first? Then we went to our life. We went to the judgment seat of Christ. That's the day of redemption. And I'm sealed to that day. My dad went on to glory in March this year. He's still up there, but he's still sealed. And that'll change when all this takes place. When the dead in Christ rise, and we all get caught up together. So you understand there's a mystery of the Father. Paul teaches you that in Ephesians chapter number 1. The future out here, in heaven and in earth, God's got a future, and it's all in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you're not going to be a part of this over here, the dispensation of the fullest times. If you're not in Christ, if you're in Christ, you get to be a part of that. Okay? That's what he covers in chapter 1. But he goes on to say this in chapter 1, verse 15, wherefore also after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you and making mention of you in my prayers. He's praying for them. Why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. He wants you to know something. He wants you to have some wisdom and knowledge and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. How do you get enlightened? You've got to read something. You've got to know something, don't you? It's through God's spoken word that we learn. It's through God's spoken word that we begin to. Our eyes get open. The understanding comes along. We have the wisdom of God. It's through the written word of God. It's when God's word begins to get down inside of you and it changes you, who you are, and you begin to walk according to the word that's in you. Verse number 18 again. Then the eyes of your understanding been enlightened that you may know. You got to know something that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You know that God's got an inheritance in you and I? That's His inheritance, by the way. You and I, He talks about the inheritance over here, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. In verse number 18, He says the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Do you understand that one of these days, God is going to put all the members of the body of Christ on display out here in His glory? And then the nation of Israel that's failed miserably one day are going to have that glory. It's going to be in Christ Jesus. It's going to be a great thing one of these days. He says in verse number 19, and what is the exceeding greatness, not just the greatness, but the exceeding greatness of His power. Who's got the power? Who are you supposed to walk in? When He says in chapter 6, verse 10, find my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You've got to be strong in His power. It's His power that you're strong in. It's not in your own power. Well, I used to preach different from that years ago. Well, I'm glad I found grace. Thank God. I had it all along, just didn't understand it. Didn't know it. I don't know it all now, but I'm beginning to understand a little bit more than I used to understand. I preach a little different now than I used to preach. And I thank God for His goodness, for His greatness. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? And where is that exceeding greatness power at? To usward who believe. Hope you're a believer. Because you see what that is? It's good stuff. Which, what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe? Now, it's according to the working of His mighty power. It's all about His power. It's not about our power. Listen, I tried that for years, friend. It don't work. It might work for a little while. It might work for a day. Man, you feel real good when you're doing good. But when you stump that toe, you feel like a dog or something. You know, you just don't feel real good. But when you understand what he's doing in you, and you know it's him, and you know what he's doing, you know his plan, you know what he's done for you, and you know that you're a member of the body of Christ, and man, that changes things when it's him. And you're just in him. Verse 20. Let's read verse 19 and 20 together. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his body power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality. Now listen, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Does that tell you anything about what you know about the Word of God? Colossians chapter 1. Hold your finger right there and look at Colossians chapter 1 real quick. I'm in Christ, and guess what? He's over every. I mean, he has the power. Colossians 1:16. For by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are on earth. Brother Richard read this verse last night. Visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for. Verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary, that death was not only to keep you out of hell, to save your soul if you were trusting, make you a member of the body of Christ, but it's to reconcile all things in heaven and in earth unto himself. And if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when all has been subdued, he offers it back to the Father. That Christ may be all, that God may be all in all. Verse number 21 again, back in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to have to preach fast. I didn't intend on spending this much time here, but just preaching. So. Verse 21 again, Ephesians 1:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Not only in this world, praise God, where we're at. But man, that world is to come. Praise God. What a difference. What a change. What a glorious time it's going to be over there. I think about that. I think about when Satan in that bunch gets down into the lake of fire. And they're away from us. All that bunch. I say it all the time when I'm preaching. A lot of times over there now. You don't have to go there. You don't have to wind up in a lake of fire. If you go there, it's your fault. Because Jesus paid it all to him up. Sin and left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. It's all about what he done for you. So you learn that, verse 22. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We get down to chapter number 2. When he saved you, you was in darkness. You was lost. You was dead. You was going to hell without God. But you didn't have to give up a lot of stuff. You didn't have to change everything. You didn't have to turn over a new leaf. All you had to do is come to him. Trust what he done at Calvary. He took care of all of it. That's what he says there if you read down through it. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, when we were right dead in the middle of our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He made us alive right then and there. With Christ, by grace you're saved. Just by God's grace that you're saved. Drop down to verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God. Then you read verse number 11. I skipped 10 on purpose. Maybe I better read it, because I'll forget to come back to it. Just remember I read it to you, okay? For we are his workmanship, created where? In ourselves, in our power? It's in Christ. In Christ Jesus, unto good works. We're God's workmanship in Christ Jesus, unto good works, with God before ordained that we should walk in them. God ordained that we should walk in Christ. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope without God in the world. That's where we used to be. That's where the Gentile world used to be. The Gentile world, they were just lost and undone without God. The Jews, it was the Jews that had God nigh unto them. The Gentiles didn't have God nigh to them. But now, you remember, this was the circumcision. This was the uncircumcision. But now, as Israel has fallen, the whole world's in uncircumcision. Unless you're in Christ. But if you're in Christ, you're part of the circumcision made without hands. You're part of God now, not a part of that bunch. And he goes on to say, verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you sometimes fall from made now by the blood of Christ. Who is our peace, who hath made both one. He made the circumcision and the uncircumcision. He made them one in Christ. And he calls it one new man, verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity and the law of commandments containing ordinance for the making himself a twain. One new man. So making peace. So we're made one. Now it's the dispensation of the grace of God. You get to chapter number 3. By the way, 12 tribes. Thank God's through with them. The nation of Israel, you were to sue your brain for non-support because you didn't read the Bible good enough. God's not through with those 12 tribes. But now, there's one new man, and that's who you and I are. Jew, Gentile, bond, or free. And a few more things could be added on there. But we could say Jew-Greek. And Gentile. Jew-Greek, Gentiles, or Greeks. So. All right, when you get to chapter number 3, you find out Paul tells you this is who he's the apostle of, who he is. Look at there, verse number 1 of chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you. This dispensation of the grace of God given to Paul for us, out of our revelation made known unto us the mystery, as I wrote for you, words whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I was made a minister. The ministry that Paul had was Jew and Gentile made in one body, one new man. That was never heard of back here. These people back here in time past, they had to convert to Judaism if they wanted any help because the Jews are the ones that had gotten out to them. Here, Jew, Gentile, bond, and free can just trust that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose again. When they trust, according to the scriptures, those things, God makes them a part of the one new man. So, you read down through the thing. Verse 7 says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, unless the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. The mystery of Christ. Verse 4. For by when you read, you may not understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You know about the mystery of the Father, the dot five, the dispensation of fullness of time. The mystery of Christ is the one new man, which is the body of Christ. Then Paul begins to pray for them. Verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's the eternal purpose? Christ died to reconcile all things unto himself, and you and I can be a part of that reconciliation in Christ Jesus when we trust the finished cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul begins to pray for him, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth his name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, his riches, his glory, to be strengthened with what? Might. How do you get that might? By his spirit. Words of that? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ. To know that love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You think about all that stuff, and Brother David's going to get in chapter number 4. But I want you just to go back over there to real quick, because I just started preaching. I didn't even look at the time. But look at Ephesians chapter 6 again. Look at my text over here. When you come through these first 5 chapters, and you get to chapter 6, verse 10, what does he say? Finally. So he has the assumption that you understand about the dispensation of the fullness of time. He has the assumption that you understand the mystery of Christ, the body of Christ. He has that assumption that you know those things when you get over here. And he has the assumption that you know chapter 4 and chapter 5, which we hadn't gone through. But you get the picture, I hope. When you get to chapter 6, whose power are you standing in? Who is the power? It's him. It's his power. You put all the effort you want into it, but I got news for you. You're not going to make it in yourself. The only way you're going to make it is in him and relying upon his word. That's where we make it. Look at verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And we know that from chapter 1. Verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead? See the power of Christ, that God raised Christ from the dead. Thank God he can take and put a life in you. That life that he wants and desires to walk in you in Christ. God can do it. He has the power. So you walk in his power. Go back to verse 10 again, chapter 6. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil. We didn't go over this, but look at chapter 4 real quick, verse 20. Chapter 4, verse 20. As you've learned down through here, he says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. Notice that. Ye have not so learned Christ. See those words? You don't need to put another word in there. It's not how much you know about him. It's how much you know him. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. That ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man. You got to put that old man off, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Where are you going to get that renewal at? In the Word of God. Hold your finger and look back to Romans chapter 12 real quick. Romans chapter 12. Verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. You're living, yeah, you're dead. You understand Romans 6, don't you? You're baptized into the death of Christ. You're resurrected to walk in newness of life. That ye may present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I'm glad it's something you may have to reason it out. You have to think about it a little bit. And you think about it through his word. You let his word be what works in your heart, in your life, and in your mind. Verse number 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the renewing of your mind going to do when you study God's word, when you let God's word work in you? What is it going to do that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Heard Brother Richard say it before. You can do something that's good, or you can do something that's better, or you can do the best. You can do the perfect. That you may prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is that you renew your mind in this book, and then you let that book kind of be there in the back of your mind. And as you're living life and things go on, you kind of think about it. You can't have a sin unless you got a law. I got to think about that last night. When Brother Richard told me yesterday when I got trying to give him that chocolate donut, he said, sinful. And be a law there to put there to make it sinful, right? Nevertheless, let me go on. Chapter 6, let's go on and finish this thing. I don't remember when I started, so. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I was going to chapter 4. Did I ever read chapter 4? Now, let's go. Yeah. Okay. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's Satan in that bunch. I mean, listen. Jesus Christ already won the battle. Jesus Christ already won the battle. Our fight here is against flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood, excuse me. It's against principalities and powers. Who defeated them? And when you learn what he done, when you learn what he's accomplished for us, and then you just rely upon what he's done, and you rest in him, and you live in him, and you learn, and you walk in him, then you're walking like you should have with his armor on. You're dressed for the battle when you come to the point of doing that. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 real quick. Just touch it. I'm not going to say too much, but I know Brother David's going to be preaching on chapter 4. For the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. Got some knowledge, got some understanding. The knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of your greatness. God. The fullness of Christ. Why? Why do you need that? Why do you need that knowledge? Why do you need that understanding? That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with everyone of God. I'll tell you what, you talk to people and you hear some of the crazy stuff they believe. Oh, my Lord. It's amazing what some people believe today. But when you understand the Word of God and you take this book and you put it down inside of your heart and you're alive and you read it and you meditate on it and you let it be there and it's there, I've looked at people before and I said, you don't know what you're saying right now. And, oh, man, they get offended. But when you show them a verse, they still don't get it. Some of them do. But the ones that do get it, that's the ones you keep doing what you're doing for. Not everybody's going to get it. Not everybody's going to understand it. But there are those when one comes along and says, oh, man, that's great. Thank you for showing that to me. Isn't that good stuff? It's what keeps me going. It's not about building a huge place. It's about doing the work of the ministry. Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man, into the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with everyone of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What happened to Eve in the garden? She got caught off guard, caught up in the lie. That's what happens to people today. You can't just believe everything you hear. Look at the Word of God. Believe the words. Believe what God had to say. If you do that, you're going to be doing really good. All right, let's go back over. I need to finish it. So I got to do it. Verse 13. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. What is truth?
Thy word.
Look at Ephesians chapter 5. You should have already known this too. We didn't go through all this stuff. Chapter number 5, look at verse number 9. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and what? Truth. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Look at there. What about that? And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. How do you reprove them? Because you got a life living in you. You got Christ living in you. And it outshines the darkness. What happens when God comes in the darkness? Darkness ain't there. It's gone. Disappears. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in the secret. So we understand that the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Let's look back over there, 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Who's your righteousness? Romans chapter 3. Now the righteousness of God is revealed. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. You can go over there and read it. I've got to move on. 21, 22, over there in Romans chapter number 3. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. I mean, folks, it's the righteousness, the breastplate of the Lord. It's faith and love. It's just allowing Him to do the work in your heart and life. Verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet shall with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Look at chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse number 8. 18, I'm sorry. That didn't look right. Yeah, it's 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. And how did he do it? By Jesus Christ. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that ministry of reconciliation? To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ did, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Who knew no sin? He didn't have any sin, but you did. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God he is our righteousness, folks. And your feet shod. Go back over to chapter 6 again, verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all. And by the way, verse 15, you could look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, verse 13 and 14. 18 to 21, I mean. Ephesians, you get through the book of Ephesians and then you just understand these five chapters before brings you up to the knowledge of this passage right here. Verse 16. And above all, taking the shield of faith, with which wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. I'm gonna look at one thing right quick. 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4. I would tell you a joke right now, but I'm getting ready to quit. So, chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, for though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen, they're eternal. So we just take care of those fiery darts in which we live today through the shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, Lord, that you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We know that to be the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer. All prayer. And supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, That's God's word rightly divided. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died at Calvary, was buried, and rose again the third day. It's about preaching what Jesus Christ done. But that's good. I want to close with one verse. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When it comes down to you standing in your power, you're not going to make it. But if you stand in Him, listen, God's powerful. He's mighty. He's all-powerful. You want to be in some armor? Just rest in Him. Let this word be in you. Let that be what works out of you. That'll make a difference. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number... Now let's start verse 28. Now verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him, of God the Father, by His great grace, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Jesus Christ has made wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glory, let him glory in the Lord. You want to put on some armor? You want to be dressed for the battle? Walk in Him. Walk in His power. Walk in His strength. Walk in who He is and who He's made you in Christ. Our Father, thank You for this time we had together. Pray, Lord, You'll just take Your word and help us all continue to grow. Study to show ourselves approved unto Thee. Work with it, need not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing Your precious truth. And live in Your word day by day. I pray, Lord, that You'll let the remainder of this conference to be a blessing and a help to everyone that's here. In Christ's name. All right, take a breath. When you hear some singing, you can come on back.